Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28, we'll read just a few verses of Scripture. All the songs you've heard sung go right along with the message that the Lord has preached this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through verse number 7. If you'd like to stand and expect reading of the Word, please do so. If you're not able to or can't, I understand. Also this, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reading the Word of God. God, for a little while, God, help us to, under your anointing power, to be able to touch and God, do and say what need to be said. And God, expose, God, the truth of this text and which it happens to, that God, we might be touched and encouraged by the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for what you've done, what your mercy, your grace, and your power. God, touch, we pray. Lord, this we ask in thy name. Amen. And amen. Here we see this passage of Scripture, what transpired on Easter morning. There in Jerusalem. The Bible said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. The Bible said, behold, when they got there, there was an earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door set upon it. Give the account, the Bible said, verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. The angel answered and said to the women, Fear not, you know, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Here we see what the ladies, or Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, came and amen, as it, and some of the scriptures said, the other gospels talks about, as he was going, they began to ask one another, who's going to roll the stone away? They had went to anoint his body with spices and things. And Brother Brian, and as they was on their way, they would begin to wonder, how in the world, who's going to roll the stone? But when they got there, the stone was already gone. But we see in Matthew's account of the resurrection morning, we find out that it was an angel that came, amen, from heaven. And, amen, the Bible said, roll the stone away. And I say, first of all, that angel didn't have to roll the stone away for the Lord to get out. Amen. The angel rolled the stone away to show forth to everybody, amen, that that tomb was empty. And I like what he said. He is not here, for he is risen. In other words, what the angel was telling Mary and him, listen, this tomb is empty. That's what I want to preach upon tonight or this morning. The message of the empty tomb. The message of the empty tomb. When we look at the word empty, a lot of times, amen, we think of disappointment. We think of being depleted. We think of not having enough money in our bank account to pay the bills. We think of a loved one. We've had to say goodbye to ways of death, amen, and an emptiness that it leaves in our heart. Amen. We think of emptiness. When we hear the word empty, we think of sorrow, defeat, discouragement. Honey, I want to look, I'm reminded of an illustration that gets us to thinking along a different line. There was a Sunday school teacher who had given each child in her class a plastic egg, in which each of those eggs should place an object, amen, in it to tell the true meaning of Easter. One by one, each child opened their eggs and found the object in their egg. When the last child opened their egg, there was nothing inside. The teacher was shocked, thinking she had forgot to put something in the egg, and that the child would be disappointed because of that empty egg. But the child in excitement proclaims, it is empty, just like the tomb of Jesus. Thank God. I am so glad we can see some things about this empty tomb that gives us encouragement and the boldness no matter where we're at in life, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through, that we can find hope and help in the message that we see at the empty tomb. First of all, you notice what the angel said. The Bible said, the angel answered, amen, and said to the women, fear not, for I know. For I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see. First of all, we see this first thing in the first part of the message at the empty tomb. Amen. The angel told Mary and the other Mary to come and see. In other words, come and experience. Easter is not a celebration of history, but thank God it is a celebration of an experience of what happened there that morning. It is to come. Amen. To experience something. Thank God I'm glad. Thank God when I, amen, experienced the fact, amen, that tomb was empty. And what it meant. Thank God we need to look at this empty tomb and realize and understand something wonderful happened. Something spectacular happened. Something great happened. You said, preacher, what was it? Here was a man that had died, but when you went to the tomb, he ain't there. You see, it was a miracle beyond miracles. Amen. Behold, that Jesus had got up out of the grave. That he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. See, first of all, we see the miracle that happened. He was one that had been dead. He was a tomb that had been used. You look at all the other tombs out there in that area. You could open up those stones and you'd find the body still there. Oh, but thank God this is a different tomb. Amen. When he got there, the Bible said the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. And the angel said, come. Look, he's not here. Miracle, amen, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had happened. Come, it's not only a miracle, but it shows the mercies of God. Amen, how that he came to die at an old rugged cross. But thank God not only did he come to die, Brother Perry, but he came to get up out of the grave. Amen, so we could see that miracle and experience the mercy of God to provide salvation for mankind that we could not provide for ourselves. Matthew 11:28 says, and they have come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God I'm glad we see that word come. Oh, and the angel told a man and the other Mary to come. Look, he ain't here. Thank God I'm glad we get the message from Jesus and said, come. Thank God. Amen. Put your yoke. I'll take my yoke upon you. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God, because of that empty tomb, thank God we've got the hope, the opportunity to experience. Thank God, because that tomb is empty, because he did get up out of the grave, we can experience a wonderful work of salvation, a wonderful, amen, rest that we can find in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Revelation 22:17, Spirit and the bride say, come. He that heareth, let him say, come. He that is thirst, let him come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. Because the angel exclaimed, amen, to Mary and the other Mary, amen, that message we see at the empty tomb is come. Amen, look, he ain't here. And because he ain't here, you can come and experience the one, the work of salvation. You can come and experience and take the water of the life, of everlasting life, freely because of that experience. Luke 24:6-7, 8 says this, he is not here but is risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. Amen. Not only we see the message at the empty tomb is to come and experience. Amen. Thank God because that tomb is empty.
Thank God there's something that we can comprehend. There's something we can be thankful for. You say, preacher, what is it? Not only did they say, come and comprehend, or come and experience, but he said, come and see. In other words, amen, comprehend, examine what had just happened. I want you to understand how, amen, what that empty tomb represents. We need to comprehend this morning. It represents the fact, first of all, how the fulfillment of prophecy, how that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has spoken. Amen, when He said, amen, amen, oh, well, I believe in John 2:19, Jesus said to them, destroy this temple, and 3 days, I will raise it up. Thank God I'm glad. Amen. That empty tomb. We need to understand and comprehend. Amen. And examine the fact because it is empty. Because he did get up out of the grave. It was the fulfillment of prophecy of what he had told them there in the temple. You look at Muhammad's tomb. You look at Buddha's tomb. You look at David Koresh's tomb. You look at all the tombs of those that claim to be, amen, God Himself, or claim to be the Messiah. Oh, but yes, I claim to be the answer, but yet you go to their tomb. Amen, you'll find bones. But honey, you can go to this tomb, it's still empty. Oh, why? We need to understand the cause that is empty. Thank God and grace hope to you and I. First of all, it is fulfillment of prophecy. Not only is it fulfillment of prophecy, that empty tomb represents final proof. Colossians 2:10 says this, and ye are complete, or 2:10, verses 10 through verse 15. It said, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all you all trespasses, catch 13, 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made us show them openly, triumphing over them in it. What does that mean, preacher? Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He's speaking of the law. It was the law, amen, that showed us how sinful we were. It was the law that showed us, amen, that we were undone, lost, without God. The law could not save us. The law could not make us perfect. All the only thing the law could do was condemn us. Thank God the Bible says, He said, and blotting out the handwriting of horses that was against us, which was contrary to us, He took it out of the way. And that is His cross. Jesus did on Calvary's cross what the law could not do. Thank God He died, but thank God He got up the third day. And thank God to provide salvation to do for bring to do for us what the law could never do for us. The law could condemn us, show us was our sin, but it could never save us. What Jesus did when He got up out of that empty tomb simply means, thank God He did what the law could not do. Amen. He made us perfect where the law could not make us perfect. But then I like what He said in verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made us show them openly, triumphing over them in it. That word spoiled. I want you to catch it. And having spoiled, who's he talking about? Principalities and powers. The principalities of darkness, the powers of the devil himself. Thank God He spoiled them. That word spoiled simply means to defang. In other words, take the teeth out. No, you take something, have it take the teeth out. Hey man, you don't worry about as much about it biting you anymore. But one preacher said, he just simply, hey man, kick the devil's teeth out. I like it. Why?
Amen. The devil can't have no power over us anymore. Why? Because he's defending. Thank God the fear of death. Amen. The fear of hell. They hung over us. Amen. The warriors. Thank God the cause of salvation. He's took it away. Boom! Defanged it. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Why? Don't get me wrong. We still got to put up with the devil. Honey, I don't have to worry about the fact. Amen. Of what he wants to do to me. Thank God. I've been born again by the grace of God because of that empty tomb. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. And because of the empty tomb. Thank God. And because of the work of salvation. Accepting him as Lord and Savior of my life. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about hell. Why? Because the Lord took care of that. He told Tulane, come and see. Comprehend what this means and examine it. That empty tomb represents a fulfilled prophecy. That empty tomb represents a final proof that he is who he says he is. Many times we want final proof of something before we'll, amen, receive it. Here it is. Amen. Romans 1 verse 3 and 4 says this. Concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There it is. There's your final proof. That empty tomb, the message we see at the empty tomb, amen, simply proved that he is who he said he is. Thank God that he will do what he said he'll do. And that he can do what he says he will do. It is a message, amen, to comprehend and understand. Because that tomb is empty, gave confirmation that he is truly the Son of God. Why? Because everybody else filled the grave. He got up. Why? Because he is the very darling Son of God. Not only do we see that, I believe Raymond Lindquist, writer, put this down. Amen. He gave a very interesting definition of Easter. He said this, Easter to our faith, speaking of a Christian's faith, Easter is to our faith what water is to the ocean, what stone is to the mountain, what blood is to your body. It is the unique substance of redemptive reality. It is the first and final word in the dictionary of God. It says that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. I like that. You see, folks, without the resurrection, amen, just like Paul told the church of Corinth, our preaching would be vain. We'd still be in our sins. We're to be lost and on the way to hell. There will be no sense of being in the house of God. And we got a world society, amen, that's teaching our children that. Teaching, amen, our college students that. Amen, there is no resurrection. There is no God. Y'all going to church on Sunday? Y'all going to church whenever you get it's just a bunch of hogwash. There ain't no sense in it. But I like what the Word of God says. But now he is Christ risen. They can go look at that tomb. That's my proof. Thank God he ain't there. Thank God that tomb is empty. Amen. Proof that he is who he said he is. And he'll do what he said to do for you. Thank God I'm glad one day I was reminded of the fact, amen, that empty tomb. Amen. The scripture says, the preacher preached, amen, that thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Thank God I was lost and on my way to hell. And I needed proof. Amen. If somebody could help me, keep me out of hell. And I found that proof in the Lord Jesus Christ when he got up out of the grave. Because of that, I accepted him as Lord of my life. Because of that, I don't have to worry about hell. Don't have to worry about the devil like I used to have to. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, we still have to put up with him day to day. Thank God I'm glad. Amen. The judgment of hell is gone. Why? Because of that empty tomb. Now, not only we see, he told them, come and experience. See the
place where the Lord lay. Comprehend. Amen. We see the empty tomb also represents a reigning Savior. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Because, thank God, that tomb is empty. Amen. It gives proof and represents that He is a reigning Savior. He's one that's up on high, sitting at the right hand of the Father, looking down upon you and I. Oh, you say, what good does that do? Huh, He's looking. He cares about what you and I go through. He cares about our heartbreaks. He cares about our sadness. He cares about our sorrow. He cares about our troubles and the storms that we go through. Prove that to me, preacher. If you look over in the book of Acts, you'll see a story of a man by the name of Stephen. The Bible said that Stephen was a deacon. Began to preach to him. Having God and the Word of God began to cut the hearts of those, amen, he was before. To the point they just took him out and began to stone him. But I like what he saw. Thank God when he looked up into heaven right before he passed on. He said, I see Jesus standing. He wasn't sitting. Thank God he was standing. Right? You believe what you want to believe. I just want to believe there's a time when he gets up off of the sea. Hey, man, gets up in concern for you and I and what we face and what we go through. It was a term, amen, of affection for Stephen. He cares about each and every one of us. See, come and see the place where he laid. Then we see something else. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place of the Lord lay. Verse 7. And go quickly. We see a command, amen, and exalt. We see a command that was given with such an urgency and go quickly. Amen. And we see in the other man, by the way, they were to go their way. He said, you go quickly. The command that is given was given to Mary, and the other Mary was, now you go and tell folks what you saw. Now I say today, the message at the empty tomb is the same message that is being given to you and I today. Amen. This morning we know that He's not there. This morning you heard me tell you according to the Word of God, comprehend what it means for you and I, that He ain't there, that He is a risen Savior. Amen. That He'll help those that are in need, those that are in sin, those that love. Amen. He is their hope. Now it's air, the command that He gives us as He gave the women. Go quickly. We see the command to go, but we see the urgency to go quickly. You see, folks, time's running out. You look throughout America. You look throughout our land. Honey, you look at what's going on, even in Ukraine, and what's going on even, amen, the threat of the United States being thrust into a nuclear situation, which is very near, according to what you see is going on in Ukraine right now. Some threats are being made, amen, right now. Oh, can I get you to understand how close it is, how urgent it is for you and I as God's people, amen, to give the message, amen, of that empty tomb, amen, that God can do the life of our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, our co-workers, our friends that are lost and on the way to hell, that they can see the urgency, amen, to put their trust in Jesus. Go quickly. Message of the empty tomb is a common experience. Amen. Message of the empty tomb is to command. It was see the command and the exalt to go. Matthew 28:7, go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. Behold, He goeth before you in the Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lord, I've told you away. Not only see the command and exalt, but one more thing I want you to see. Going quickly. Tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see Him. Shall you see Him? Lo, I have told you. Then we see not only the command and exalt is the message that the angel gave to Mary, and the other Mary is to convey or to be encouraged. Amen. Or what's going on? He said, listen, he's up, he's gone. Amen. You go tell the, you go quickly and tell the disciples, amen, that he's risen. Just like he said, amen, convey that message everywhere. Amen. Be encouraged in the fact, thank God that he's walking around. He is alive. Can I tell you today, what ought to encourage our hearts? We serve a risen Savior. We serve a living Savior. Hey, I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a God. Amen. That they fashioned back in biblical times. Amen. Out of wood and out of ivory and out of whatever they could use to put up on the mountain because they say, that's my God. Amen. They had to carry their own God around. I'm glad my God carries me around. I don't have to carry him. Why? Because he is alive, God. The Bible said, behold, I am he that was dead and alive, and yet liveth and alive forevermore in the book of Revelations. You see, we serve a living Savior. Thank God, because we serve a living Savior. How we can give ourselves as a living sacrifice to be used by that living Savior. He is one that hears me. He is one that looks after me. He is one that is concerned for me. He is one that one day I'll see again. But he is also one that speaks to me on a daily basis. Why? He said, go and tell him. Amen, he's risen. And then he said, verse 7, and I'm done. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. He was encouraged and knowing what the angel had just told him. Wasn't a theory, but it was fact. He said, he's here. He's risen. He said, you go tell the disciples. Matter of fact, you'll see him yourself. I like what one of the Gospels tell the story of the resurrection. It said, as two men were there, amen, Mary turned around and saw Jesus, but she didn't know who he was. But then I like what happened. The Bible said that Jesus said, Mary. Didn't get that, did you? Mary. Thank God, he called her by name. And when he called her by name, thank God, Mary. Hey, recognize the voice of the Master. I knew that it was her. He said, Rabboni, Master. I'm glad, thank God, he's the Savior that calls by name. Oh, thank God he's such a living and caring, loving Savior that he knows what you go through. He knows the dangers you face. He knows the trials you come against. He knows your discouragement. He knows your situation. But thank God he cares about enough about you that he can call you by name. Mary. Mary. Can I say if that ain't encouragement, I don't know what is. Ain't you glad? Brother Ed, a time when you get down, time when you get discouraged, time when you lose the love, time when you go through life, and you just don't know what to do. Thank God you hear your name spoken. Oh, by the Master, by the one that loves you, by the one that got up out of that grave so he can talk to you. Let him let you know that he cares. See, we need to convey that message of encouragement, that he loves us enough that he knows us by name. Believe it. Maybe preacher sister, you sang that song. Maybe some of the girls here sang, I think, may have. Thank God he knows me. May he knows my name. Ain't you glad he knows you by name? Oh, she looked and didn't recognize the Master until he spoke to her. Then when he spoke to her, it encouraged her to realize that here where he was. The very one that they put in that grave is the very one that was now alive. He was not dead anymore. You see, folks, we
We see a message at that empty tomb that an angel gave to Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. It was a message to come, amen, and experience. It was a message to comprehend what that empty tomb meant, amen, and exalt, amen, that fact. But it's also a command to go, let folks know, amen, that that tomb's empty. You go tell his disciples. You go tell everybody, he ain't here. Preached the message one time, maybe I'll get to preach it again. One of the scriptures, amen, the Bible says it was the angels that made a statement to Mary and him, said, he ain't here. Why you seek the living among the dead? Preach that message one time down Pine Island. Why you seek the living among the dead? Honey, seeking the living among the dead is like trying to find righteousness through the law. You can't do it. Amen. It's like trying to find hope in this world. You can't do it. Trying to find peace, amen, without the Lord. You can't do it. Why are we going to the dead things of the world? Why are we looking to the world to find, amen, when only the Lord can give us because of that empty tomb? Many times we'll try to turn to every aspect we can and try to, amen, fulfill a problem or have a problem we got when all we got to do is turn to Jesus. Is it like seeking a living among the dead? What are you doing in the graveyard if you want to find something living? What are we doing in the world if we want to find a relationship, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, that's a message. To come, give us a song this morning. See the message at the empty tomb. Come. Amen. See, he ain't here. He's risen. Come. Comprehend. Amen. What's going on? Comprehend and understand what this empty tomb means. Then go. Go quickly. Let everybody know that this tomb is empty. That there is hope. Be encouraged in the fact of what Jesus can do for you. Father, we thank you, Lord of God. Touch them on hearts. Touch them on lives. God, this fiesta, and I